promise that the Lord has given us to meet with us, whether there's just a few or whether there's a great number. It's a real encouragement to me. And I'd like to take this thought that we had this morning about fuzzy logic a little further, and would like to try to impress upon us how important it is for us to be clear in our vision and our direction. One of the fellows at work recently, I'm guessing he's in his early 30s, and he got something in his eye, whether he got it in there at work or otherwise, I don't know, but he got something in his eye, and his eye was irritated, and he first thought he was just being real sensitive to light, so he started wearing sunglasses, and this went on for a week or so, and he finally went to the optometrist for them to check his eyes, and they discovered that he had a little piece of debris of some sort. I don't remember now what they thought it was in his eye. So they got that cleaned out, and within a couple of days, his eye was healed up and he was doing much better. But they also checked his vision, done a regular eye exam, and told him, you know, you really need some glasses. And so he got some glasses, and here in the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks, he showed up to work and he had a pair of glasses on. And I said, so I spoke to him. I said, so how's the glasses working out? He said, you know, he said, I see things clearer than I think I've ever seen it. So we don't know just how long he needed glasses, but he had he does very good work. I'm very happy with his performance on the job, but it's like he didn't realize how his eyesight had diminished. Maybe he's been that way since a very small child. I don't know. But somehow or another, he's been adapting with fuzziness all of his life, and he's never been able to see maybe as clearly as some of us have. And I'm thankful that naturally, obviously I'm wearing glasses tonight and have now for several years, but I'm thankful that when I was a youth and in my teenage years and really up into my late 30s, I felt like I had really good vision. You know, I could see the grain of the wood and a board, and I could see how to thread a needle, and I was flabbergasted that my mother couldn't see that little hole, and I didn't know what the big deal was. You just put the thread in that little hole and you thread the needle, and my mother couldn't do it. I didn't know what it was like to have the road signs to be fuzzy. It was just, I just thought everybody ought to be able to see like that. So probably the best defense for us to have something other than fuzzy logic in our decision-making process is to be able to see clearly what the Lord intends. You know, we put on a pair of glasses and we say, it's so much better. My glasses got really scratched here recently, and I noticed driving at night, it was better with them off than it on because they were scratches and the light was being refracted, and it looked like starburst. The headlights and everything, it was just, it was bad. It was better for me to just take my glasses off. So I'd like for us to look in a scripture over here, passage of scripture in Philippians, the fourth chapter. It's the last chapter of the book of Philippians. And it has some words in there that just, I tell you, they just really benefit my soul every time I read it. And if you maybe are feeling a little discouraged or misdirected, I'd just encourage you to go read the fourth chapter of Philippians just ever so often, just to kind of reinforce your focus and your direction. So I want to notice here, chapter 4, verse 1, it's Apostle Paul again writing. He says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown." There was a personal attachment, and there was a sense of how do I say this? Like parental pride. I don't know how else to say it. You know, it's you know what God said when Jesus had been baptized, and there was another occasion where God from heaven spoke, and others, at least John the Baptist in that situation, heard the words, "This is my well-beloved Son. Hear ye him." And, huh? What's that? Yes. So, there is something about when your child does something that's noteworthy, you kind of want to poke the guy sitting to you and say, "That's my son. That's my daughter." I think that can be taken too far. But there is a sense of accomplishment. There's a sense of gratefulness and thanksgiving. If your child is maybe small and young, and they're being courteous to older people and maybe holding the door for them or offering to help, and somebody says, "Is that your son?" You don't say, "Yeah, I'm sorry." No, you don't say that. You say, "Yes, that's my son. I'm so grateful for his attitude or his disposition or all of that." So that's some of what was going on here. The Paul says, "My brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." So he expresses love. He uses the word beloved twice in one verse. I didn't study the Greek out, but it was translated beloved two times here. There is a high level of affection here between Paul and those at Philippi. So I just want us to skip down now. He gives a lot of good counsel and advice in this this chapter, but I would like for us to skip down to the 8th verse. And he says, "Finally, brethren," so let's sum it up. Let's come to a conclusion. I want us to be real clear about something here. When we come down to the end of maybe a job task, or maybe you was an electrician and you wired up all of the lights and you walked around and you I remember when we hooked up the last wire and turned the power on to the lights in here, and we have a four-way and 2 3-way switches, and it was so rewarding to walk over to one switch and it turned the lights on. You walk to the next one and it turned it off, and you walk to the third one and it turned it back on, and you just keep going around turning them off and on with different switches and realize it's going to work. It does exactly what we intended to do. You want to just go around the room 2 or 3 times checking the switches. There was a, let's come down to the end here. I want us to be real clear. This is something that'll work. It'll do benefit. It'll bless us in our life. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. The things that are true, whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. It's very clear. It's not fuzzy. He doesn't suggest you might consider if something is virtuous. He doesn't say think on everything that's just not horrible. He doesn't say that. He says if it's true, if it's honest, if it's just, if it's pure, if it's lovely, if it's something of good report, if there's virtue involved, it's honorable, it's something that elevates the human characteristic that God wants to bless in our lives, he said, think on these things. Dwell on it. Don't allow yourself to be distracted with something less than that. Don't allow yourself... will you accept that? I'm not trying to do injustice to the Scripture. I mean, when the Lord tells us something in the Scripture to do something, it's pretty easy to infer or imply or come to the conclusion he means for us not to do the other thing. If he tells us, if I tell someone to turn right, it's pretty well assumed that you don't turn left, right? If I say turn right at the next intersection, that means don't go straight. So when he says, whatsoever things are true, think on those things. That means if something is not quite true, and it's kind of fuzzy, don't dwell on it. Don't be considering it. Don't allow that to be something that consumes your time. Just focus on truth. You know, many times the enemy has traps right here for us. Maybe it would sound better if we wasn't quite as truthful as it really was. Or we should be. Maybe we look more like a hero. Maybe it looks like we're smarter or stronger or faster or whatever it is. If we just don't quite dwell on the truth. But he says, whatsoever is true. It's not fuzzy. It's what is true. And then he said, whatsoever things are honest. Honesty and truth. That kind of goes together, doesn't it? Whatsoever is honest. Just 100% honest. Not kind of dishonest. Not a little bit less than honest. It's honest. We've all been in those places where it would be easier to be less than honest. It's easy to jump to wrong conclusions. Lord, help us to think on the things that are honest. Whatsoever things are just, fair, equitable. The Scripture teaches us that to treat others like we want to be treated. That's just, isn't it? So it doesn't matter what their ethnicity is. It doesn't matter what their, maybe their age or what. We want to teach them, we want to treat them justly. equal opportunity, I guess you might say. All right? He says, whatsoever things are pure. So, we've talked about some of this in not so distant past about our world is caught up in measuring things in parts per million. A million parts of, a million gallons of water and 1 gallon of, I don't know, something disgusting. What's that? 1 gallon of Roundup. So if we had a million gallon tank full of pure water and we put 1 gallon of Roundup in it, you think you could spray your grass with it and not kill it? I think you could. You think you could drink it and it not kill you? I think so. I think you could drink all million gallons of it. Take you a while, but I think you could drink the whole tank of water and it wouldn't kill you. Why? Because it's only 1 gallon of Roundup and a million gallons of water. That's a lot of water, you know it? But guess what else? It's not pure. It had a gallon of water, a gallon of Roundup in that. You get the point. Whatsoever things are pure. Lord, I don't want it to be contaminated. I want to think on pure things. I don't want it to be fuzzy here. I don't want to see how much I can. I've heard of people that gradually poison somebody by putting just a little bit of something in maybe something they drank for breakfast. And tomorrow they put a little bit, and the next day they might put just a little bit more and a little bit more until the toxicity level of that came to the point that it caused a symptom. And maybe it was irreversible and it took their life. I had a vehicle come in one time, and the customer, it was complaint, it wasn't running properly, and so we it was under warranty, and we put another technician there at the time, this has been a number of years ago, put a fuel injector in it to fix it. The customer, it runs good. The customer came and got the vehicle and brought it back the next day, and it was running bad again, and they put a couple more fuel injectors in it and took it out and drove it. It's fine. The customer came and got it, and within a few days, it was back and running bad again. So they put, like, all 6 injectors in it and sent it home, and just a few days, and here it come back again, and it's running bad again. So I told the fellas, they give it to me that time, and I said, I'm going to start out by just cleaning them and see if these are new parts and they're failing somehow. So I cleaned the fuel injectors and the problem went away. I said, I don't know what it is. I'd taken the fuel filter off. I dumped it out. Nothing was in there. It looked like just regular gasoline. I said, there's something in the tank. I don't know what it is. Pull the tank out of the car. There's a big green bubble of antifreeze. Somebody had sabotaged this car, and it probably had a quart of antifreeze that was just kind of floating around in there. And it'd get a little sip of antifreeze every once in a while, and that antifreeze is sticky, and it would stick that fuel injector. Now, it was, 25-gallon tank. And a quart of antifreeze. You'd think, surely that'd be all right. You probably could have put a quart of water in it, and it wouldn't have caused that kind of problem. but not a quart of antifreeze. Pure. Whatsoever things are pure. Let's don't fuzz it up any. He says, whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. Many of these things overlap. Honesty, truth, good report. They just kind of stack on top of one another. Lovely, pure, just. Just kind of fit together. How is it that we'll be able to detect when something is fuzzy coming along that the enemy wants to try to deceive us with? It's by focusing on the clearness of what we ought to think about, what we ought to dwell on, what we ought to incorporate in our life. So, remember this verse. Read this chapter regularly. Preventative maintenance, you see, is nothing like keeping ourselves aligned with the Word that'll keep us from getting into fuzzy things. You know how you get to the point that you don't realize that you need glasses? Just don't try to focus on stuff. Just let it go. There's things in my life that I haven't made a priority, and it slipped away from me. Thankfully, I feel like they're mostly inconsequential temporal things, but may the Lord help us tonight to remember to our best defense against getting sucked into some kind of fuzzy logic. You know how much fuzzy stuff is out there in people's minds that believe that somebody is out to get them, that believe that the world is against them? Do you know how rampant that is? How does that happen? It's because they're not dwelling on real clear facts and real clear scriptural principles. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, a good report, any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. Keep it clear. Don't allow it to be distorted. What does the scripture say about things that get fuzzy? What does it say over in Revelations? You remember what he said to one of those churches? Revelations, the third chapter. We won't read it all, but we'll start in the 14th verse. He says, "And unto the angels of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." I believe that would be God himself, wouldn't it? This is what God says. "I know thy works. They are neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." What does the Lord want? He don't want us to be fuzzy. He don't want us to be vague. He don't want us to come to conclusions with... Can you imagine living in or working in an environment where you couldn't really trust your coworker? Brother David's told us about the man that operated the lift that his father went up and down a mine shaft in. What if what if twice a year that the fella hadn't operated it correctly and that lift mechanism had went freewheeling to the bottom of the shaft and killed a couple guys? But there were other 198 days they were on the job. He'd done a perfect job. You think that that'd be a very comforting thing? Which one of us would volunteer to get in the bucket if he's going to run the lift? You know, he's only killed 6 people in the last 3 years, but let's hop in and go down to our mine shaft and go to work. We'd say no. Not if you've got 6 operator errors in the cemetery. We're not going to get on this lift. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are a good report. Let's keep it clear. Let's don't be kind of lukewarm. Lord, help us to keep the fuzziness out of our decision. You know, the enemy has got those things out there. You can be fuzzy in your understanding. What the Lord come to do? Give you enough grace to keep on sinning? I would think not. It's not what the Bible says, that he came to change us. Let's keep that clear. He came to give us deliverance. Why would you want to keep carrying something around if the promise was you could be free of it? I'm sure that if I've never met anybody that would come and give me money to work on their car, and when they left, I told them, you know, that that little jerk that it does once in a while, it still does that. But we put a bunch of new parts on it, and overall, it's better. But every once in a while, it just jerks a little bit. And, you know, I know that's what you were concerned about, just letting you know. That wouldn't go over very good, would it? No, it wouldn't go over. They want a solution. What does mankind need? It needs a solution. We don't need some kind of fuzzy thing that it isn't clear. So, Lord, help us to keep it clear. Think about the things. What would God expect me to do? Be honest. Would he expect me to dwell on things that are impure? No, he wouldn't do that. You know, the phrase that has been highly commercialized, what would Jesus do? WWJD. Make a reference point. Take that along with us. Do you think Jesus would be comfortable sitting here beside you? You know, sometimes we'll take a book and open it up for our little children and say, look here, here's a pig, and here's a tractor, and here's a dump truck, and all of this kind of stuff. Well, if we were sitting in Jesus' lap, do you think he'd be showing us some of the things we're looking at? Let's be clear. Lord, help me. This is right where we live. I want to be clear. I don't want to be fuzzy in that. So you pray for me. I want to live to what I preach. And the devil hears me just like you do. And he wants to come along and make things fuzzy in my life. He wants to trip us all up. So let's pray for one another. Keep it clear. Let's don't allow things to accumulate. Let's keep our hearts and lives clean. And I believe the dividends, as other people have said, the dividends are out of this world. You pray for me.